good news, everyone!
Time for fun!
It's time for another episode of Blessing of Frost, a World of Warcraft podcast hosted by Magic and Kern.
Hey there, my name is Kern, and welcome to episode 74 of Blessing of Frost. With me, as always, is Magic.
Are we there yet?
Yes.
We are. Here. Oh, we're here.
We're here.
Right now.
We're here right now.
Just finished napping.
This is right after.
I told you to wake me up when we got
Thanksgiving.
There.
Are you all dosed up on tryptophan?
Oh man, yes. Except that's a myth because you'd need to eat like 40 turkeys or something for it to work.
I don't put that beyond your
Listen,
appetite.
Thanks. Listen, the appetite may be willing, but the body is not willing to eat 40 turkeys.
Oh,
maybe
okay.
If they're very small turkeys.
What if they have bacon
baby
on them?
Turkeys. Oh.
Baby turkeys.
Bacon covered baby turkeys.
Oh my god.
They haven't even moved yet. That's when they're the most tender. Delicious.
That is terrible. Oh my god. To any vegetarians out there, I apologize profusely for this guy.
Listen, I'm sure they'd be delicious, though I've never had one. All right.
Okay.
Let's see. And especially bacon covered, man. Oh, I cannot imagine. Or maybe it's sad because that's all I can do.
Okay.
You know what I've never
had?
Fried turkey.
Really?
I've heard it's fantastic.
I would have thought that you would have been right up there with having a turducken and stuff.
Oh, I'd love to. They're expensive. You can buy them online.
You can buy a turducken online?
Yeah, and have it shipped to you.
That's upsetting.
It looks delicious, but of work.
No, it does not.
How could you say it doesn't?
That is just terrible. I mean, I don't know. Maybe this is a cultural divide between us.
I knew you were going to bring that up.
Because,
I
you know,
knew it. It was already predetermined.
Are like obese.
Whoa.
No, I mean, your levels of obesity are higher than ours. So, I don't know. We have less, I guess, willingness to accept deep fried meat within meat or whatever.
It's not necessarily fried.
Oh, okay.
You can,
because that makes a difference.
I don't think you're supposed to fry those.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, like deep fried Oreos, like we don't have those up
here. Oh my god, that's like biting into heaven.
Right, I think we've like, you know,
fine,
sort of lost the thread. This is a podcast about World of Warcraft.
Listen,
after all,
there's turkeys in World of Warcraft.
They're
not turduckens, I will admit, but still.
Good lord. All right.
Fine, I guess we'll do something relevant.
Yeah, let's move on.
Lame.
This is the Lord Master.
All right, so before we actually get into Lore Master, even though we've just played the Lore Master sound, we thought that we should probably let you guys know that this is our second to last episode.
Yeah, that's sad.
It is kind of sad.
It's mildly depressing.
But
why would you depress me right now in the middle of a high-impact, high-octane podcast?
Because this is neither high-impact nor high-octane.
Listen. I'll start yelling if I have to, if that's what it's going to take
sure.
to get the blood pumping.
Oh my gosh. But yeah, I think that we've been doing this for 2 years, and I mean, we were both raiders and officers in our guild, and, you know, things have changed in that neither one of us is raiding. I'm not even playing anymore, and
yeah.
I mean, like, our lives are in different places from where they were 2 years ago, and I don't think that back then we even thought we would be doing this for 2 years.
Yeah, that's a long time. It's almost exactly 2 years, right?
Yeah, technically this is, like, our second anniversary episode, but let's celebrate that.
Did... Thanks.
On our final
Thanks.
Episode.
Buzzkill McBuzzkillington.
Buzzkill McGee, thanks.
Either way, you suck.
Well, it's not like it's just my decision, by the way, which is how you're making it sound.
Well, of course, because it's always your fault, and that's the way that this works.
Clearly. Evidently.
Obviously. Evidently. Elementary.
You know, that's not a terrible
that
show.
Work. It was okay.
I liked it better when it was called House MD.
You know what was better? Did you see Sherlock on BBC?
No, I haven't watched Sherlock.
You are missing, right, podcast. That's what we're doing right now.
Right, yes. Lore Master. but yeah, so clearly we feel that we're running out of steam here, and we'd rather end on a high note than extend this any longer than it really should. Actually, if you ask my opinion, we probably should have stopped like 5 months ago. But no, I mean, it's been fun. I really do enjoy doing the podcast, and we thought that 75 was a nice sort of number to end at. So this is episode 74.
Right, you really only had 75 on most of your tunes.
That is not true at all. Like, I don't have a single tune at 75 right now.
You're a liar.
I am not a liar. You can go check the army. I've got 90, 90, 85, 85.
Why don't you tell us the names of all your 85. Tunes, then?
Sure. You want me to?
No, I don't care. Don't
See?
Do that.
There you go.
Assume you're telling the truth. I truly don't care.
Right.
Let's just move on.
Yeah. So, right. We'll celebrate our second anniversary next episode on our last episode and go out with a bit of bang, hopefully.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. So, on to Lore Master for real now.
Okay. Well, what did you do?
What did I do?
Obviously, you didn't play WoW.
I did not play WoW. Correct. I should give you, like, a little bell or something every time you get something right. I should just, like, ding it. For, like, the next two episodes.
Okay.
Anyway. So, no, I didn't play WoW. I have been writing. I've been doing National Novel Writing Month, and I am now at over 44,000 words.
That's a big number, 44,000, right?
It is a large number. I am kind of impressed with myself. And
You're just the coolest.
I'm awesome. That's right. I actually wanted to thank Vidyala of Business Time and Hestia. Our former guildie, both of whom were instrumental in getting me to do NaNoWriMo. Because, you know, Halloween rolled around this year, and I'm like, eh, I didn't do NaNo last year. I don't think I'm going to do it this year. And then Vid is like, no, you should totally do it. I'm going to do it this year. We should do it together. And I'm like, oh, well, maybe. I need to think of an idea, though. And then, like, 4 hours later, on what was technically the 1st of November, Hestia is like, oh, my God, you should totally do NaNoWriMo. Because, like, that's where I actually know Hestia from. We met, like, I don't know, 8 years ago doing NaNoWriMo. And I'm like, oh, my God, well, if you're going to do it, I may as well do it, too. Of course, both of them have since dropped out.
Of course.
Yes. I'm still plugging along, and I've got 44,000 words, and I've got, like, as of this recording, 6 days to go to get the other 5,000 or so words, which is not going to be a problem. So, I would like to thank them very much for pushing me to do that, because I've been having a blast. I'm having a great time writing a crazy novel in which people psychically kill plants. Well, maybe that just happened once, but
maybe.
And I still have to incorporate a ferret named Maurice, which is a whole other ball of yarn.
Okay, then.
Yeah. Let's see. What else have I done? As some of you may know, my grandmother has not been doing wonderfully in that she went back to the hospital this summer, and we're finally moving her out of the hospital and into a residence, which is great.
Out of the hospital is great.
Yes. What's less awesome is that we're also packing up her apartment here in the same building that I live in. She lived two floors up from me. And so, like, today I spent several hours packing and stuff with my mom, who is my grandmother's daughter. So we were, like, packing stuff together and getting ready to move it out. So my grandmother moves this coming week, which is great. And she'll be a lot closer to where my parents live, which is great. Which means that a little bit of the pressure is off of me, even though I'm, like, totally the favorite grandchild. I really am. She's like, oh, t'es mon soleil, which means, oh, you're my sunshine.
Oh.
Yes. So,
I burn in the sun, so I don't like the sunshine. So it still works for me.
That totally makes sense. I get it.
So there you go.
So I've been doing that. and prepping my grandmother's like utilities. Like I'm the one who like gets her mail, and like so I had to call the utilities and get everything transferred over for next week, and so everything's going well. What else have I done? I've you know gone out and stuff. Like there's like a world out there. I don't know if you knew about it.
I was unaware.
Yeah, and it's kind of cold. It snowed today, which is always
fun. It snowed
fun.
Here a little bit as well.
It's awkward. I mean, it's not even December. I was sitting at a cafe last night writing with other people in the Montreal area doing NaNoWriMo, and they must have had like 5 CDs in a CD mixer changer thingy, whatever, and like on random, because you had like songs like Black Horse and A Cherry Tree by Katie Tunstall, and then you had Elvis's Blue Christmas, and I'm like, whoa. It is not even December. It is too early for the Christmas music.
Oh, it started.
No, but it's terrible. I'm not a fan. But like they clearly had like 3 or 4 CDs that were like decent music, and then 1 Christmas CD. And so your chances of getting like 2 Christmas songs in a row were very slim. But anyway, so I was just like, this is terrible. I can't concentrate like this.
But no.
Yeah, no, not really.
There's going to be more of that to come over the next month.
Oh, I know. And once it hits December, I'm okay, but we're still firmly in November. And so, like, every time a Christmas song came on, I went, oh, my God. And everyone I'm writing with is like, oh, it's okay. Don't worry, it'll be over soon. did I do anything else? I watched Survivor. Does that count?
Hooray. I don't think so.
I'm enjoying the season, though. I was a big fan of The Facts of Life growing up, so I'm pulling for Lisa Walshel to pull it all off.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, you're so young. So young.
This is relatively true, I guess. I'm not 5. I don't know what you consider young.
Well, anyone born in the 80s.
I guess I qualify then. You got me.
You do. So really, that was basically my week. I don't think I really had, or my 2 weeks, or I don't even know how long it's been since we put out a podcast.
Like yeah, it's been about 2 weeks.
Yeah, okay. I don't feel so bad now. I thought it was like 3.
Wow.
Well, yeah, so I clearly haven't done anything. How about you?
I have played more WoW than you for the first time.
Ever.
Maybe ever.
Ever.
So, suck it. You lose. I win.
I win one to nothing. One nothing. Yeah. Okay. I'll give you that.
Yep. I have been still every day. I've done my herbs on magic by harvesting them. Mm. And
on your farm with the tillers.
Yes, on my farm with the tillers, with whom I'm exalted, and I've also done my inscription research every day.
Oh, good.
And the last time I was on here, I remember talking about doing, I was doing the Golden Lotus dailies. And about, what is it, maybe a week ago? Yeah. I was like, okay. I've been doing it till about a week ago. And then I was like trying to force myself on at like 11:30 at night to get to do it before the next day. And I'm like, you know what? This is exactly what I didn't want these dailies to be. Just like terrible and forcing myself to do them. So I've taken like a week off of doing them for now. I don't know if I'm revered. I think I'm honored now with them.
Does
maybe
that
halfway
get you
through
anything?
Honored. No, I don't think so. It's but- just I just stopped enjoying the killing of the mobs on the mage. So
But you love to kill things on the mage.
I do. Well, you know, I enjoy killing things on the mage because they're usually done very efficiently and effectively.
But you're not geared.
Right, I'm not really that well geared. I feel like killing things on melee classes is a lot more actively fun. Like, I've always enjoyed killing things on the rogue, and when I was leveling the druid feral, I never shied away from a fight there as well. It's just, I don't know, melee is a lot of fun.
I see. I can understand that.
Yeah. So, Yes, I've stopped doing those dailies for at least a little while until I feel like doing them again, and it's kind of nice to not have to do them. It's kind of phenomenal,
understand
actually.
That, yes, not doing dailies is great.
Yes, it is.
I haven't done dailies in, like, a while.
Like, you don't say.
How's that gold treating you, by the way, buddy?
I'm at, like, 240.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, wait, that's, like, more than you had when I get... Nice!
Not less.
Very nice.
I know
I'm impressed.
You assumed it was less.
Yes, I really did.
But I've been... What did I do? I've sold some Golden Lotus at like 110 a pop or around there whenever I get a few, because I don't really do anything with them. So
right.
I just sell them.
Okay.
I think I sold 9 the other day for a grand.
Sweet.
Which was good. And I made... Today I actually made 2 cards. Even though I pretty much like sworn off the cards, I've just been...
Are they
herbing.
Ox cards?
No, it was, I think, a 6 and 7 of cranes.
Nice.
It wasn't useless. But at the same time, I wasn't really sure what I should be doing. I could just sell the ink at about 150 per ink as well. So I don't
you
know
could.
If I should just do that instead.
I would say as long as you're doing your daily research and you're getting your scrolls of wisdom every day, then don't worry too much, because you can always make the cards like all in one go.
Yeah,
or whatever.
I made 2 cards today. Like, I had 27 ink, so I made
right.
2 today and then threw them up in the auction house. But you're right. I mean, like I said, I've been doing my cooldown every day, so I can always make cards if I want to.
That's the important thing, is doing the cooldown every day, because as soon as you like lose a scroll of wisdom, then you're kind of effed. Like, that's a lot of lost potential right there.
Right, because it's like you've lost 24 hours.
Yeah.
There's no way to get it back ever.
Which is really sad. Like, I wish that you could, like, you know, not log in for a week and then you could do like 7 in a row. 37 in a
right.
row.
Right. 30. 8.
38. It's 37.
Yep. I know it's 37.
Right.
Anyway.
I'm lost now.
You should be.
Okay. Then we're right where we're supposed to be.
Excellent. Nothing new there. So, what is it? So, yeah. So that's what I've been doing. I've been doing my daily crafting stuff. I've been doing a couple arenas with Merc. I've been capping every week, which is fantastic. It's a lot better than doing it on the mage, because I've been doing it on the druid.
So that means you've been winning
at
least a little bit.
Yes, yes, we have been winning, which is a positive. And even when we had a bad week, it's still way better than the bad weeks that we had when I was on the mage.
So are you just saying that you're terrible at your mage?
No, I'm saying that it was a horrible comp that could never
DK
be good.
Mage. I see.
DK
so,
Mage.
Frost DK Frost Mage?
Yes.
Ooh.
It doesn't work.
Okay. So you heard it here first, folks. Frost DK Frost Mage does
Don't
not
do that
work.
Comp.
Unless you're facing Magic and Merc, in which case I'm sure that they would appreciate it.
That's true. Know. Anymore. I guess. Oh, man. So, yeah. I don't know. It's been fun. I've been... The only problem I've had with the PvP stuff at this point is that I just have not really been, what is it? I haven't been grinding the battlegrounds like I should. I've been pretty much doing the arenas every week and then just letting the cars, you know, fall.
I see.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know. I've been playing League now and again. I've actually been into that a bunch with playing with Fog. And then I've been playing TF2 again recently, which is fantastic. And
why
I'm pretty
have you
excited.
Been playing TF2 lately?
I don't know.
Is there anything new or?
Nah, not anything especially new. Just a really good game still.
It is. I haven't played it in a few months, but. You know, maybe that's something to do. Because I find that, like, I miss the challenge of something. Like,
yeah,
not that writing is not challenging, because it really is, but it's a challenge against myself, right? It's not a challenge against other people, really.
Exactly.
So I do miss that aspect. Like, while NaNoWriMo has been really good in, like, giving me a solid community to fall back on, you know, something to put my energy towards, it's been great for that. But it's like I'm competing against myself, and I've never really thought highly of myself as a competitor.
Nice.
So, you know, maybe I'll go do that, except I'm terrible at TF2. I'm not awful, but I'm not great. So,
see, but that's just because you don't, I mean, I have about like 12 to 1300 hours in the game.
That's a lot of time.
Really? Really? That's a lot of time. Should we talk about your / played?
Over 400 days played.
We shouldn't.
I'm okay. I'm okay with that. Over 400 days played over all of my tunes. I'm okay with that.
You know how many hours that is, right?
I've never actually done the math.
No. You said 400 days.
Yeah, I think it's around 425 days.
So you just do 425 times 24.
Yes.
And you come up to 10,200.
Wow. I am a master at that game, according to Malcolm Gladwell.
Apparently, because you made it over 10,000. Congratulations.
Yeah. Thank you. That makes me feel wonderful about myself.
It shouldn't.
We'll talk more about that later. Right.
But yeah, I've only got like 12 or 1300 hours logged on TF2. So.
Okay, so I can see the difference. That's like a tenth of the time that I've spent playing. Okay.
But how much time have you spent on TF2? You've got
not
what,
that much.
Like maybe 10 hours?
I've got more than 10 hours, thank you kindly.
Really?
Yeah, I've got like... Oh, I couldn't even tell you. Probably about 20-some hours on the sniper, and then...
No, you have 20 hours on one class?
Yeah.
That's surprising to me. I would not have guessed that.
And then I think I'm clocking in... I think my next is like the pyro, probably with like 4 or 5 hours... And then below that, like right below that, is going to be the heavy or the medic. They're probably around 5. Oh, maybe it's like 5 or 6 hours for those. You know what? I will come back to you with that info.
Oh, what? Later?
Yeah. Yeah. Because I'm intrigued now. But gotcha. Definitely the sniper is way ahead of everybody else.
You enjoy sniper that much. I mean, I enjoy sniper
Hunter
as well.
That much.
Well. You have 74 hours on record, by the way.
74, really?
Yes.
That's a lot.
That is a lot more than I would have guessed.
Yeah.
Although you did say that you had 20 hours on sniper, so
easily
22.
Really?
Your next is medic at 8.5.
Oh, nice.
And then pyro at 4.4, and then NG.
Heavy. NG, really?
And then heavy, and then spy, really? I can't believe you.
You
played spy more than you played soldier, demo, or scout.
I'm not good at soldier, demo, or scout. I don't like their playstyle, and then I was trying to get the hang of the spy. I'm terrible at spy.
You know the three main offensive like classes for competitive Team Fortress 2?
Are soldier, demo man, and scout.
Those are them.
And I'm terrible at them. I hate them. They are terrible.
But good news, you do have a pretty high amount for you played on the most important one.
Which is what?
Which is your single medic.
My medic.
Yep, the medic. It's medic, 2 soldiers, 2 scouts, and a demo man is the competitive comp layout for TF2.
I do like the medic. I like healing. It's fun.
Yeah, medic's fun. I've got 220 hours or so on medic.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's a lot of fun.
And I've got 8?
You have 8. 8.5.
Yeah, don't forget
nice
that 0.5, and that's important.
Keep it up.
Oh, God. Okay, let's move on from...
Fine.
One more thing. Totally forgot to mention this, but I was watching The Big Bang Theory, and Leonard...
I remember this. I was reading the series of tweets.
I'm not even kidding. Leonard said, "Stay frosty." Although he sounded like a total moron saying it, and it's clearly not cool like when we say it. But I had to bring that up.
You know that's
maybe
a
we'll get
thing.
It. Is it really a thing?
Yes.
I thought totally. We were just being dumb.
No, it's not necessarily.
It's the less just being dumb, FYI.
Well, okay, fine. It could be that.
But yeah, so I just had to mention that. So Leonard Hofstadter on The Big Bang Theory said, stay frosty, and I felt validated.
Anything but that.
So, okay, I'm done now. Hot fixes.
Hot fixes?
Hot fixes.
Hot fixes?
I don't know. They are probably lukewarm at this point. Again.
But then I can't, like, stretch out it doesn't sound as good.
No, it doesn't.
Hot fixes is much better.
Well, when you say lukewarm, it sounds like you're cheering for Luke Robitaille of the Los Angeles Kings.
Alrighty.
Yeah. Anyway, so there were some hot fixes that came out on the 20th. Is it? Yes, it's the 20th, November 20th.
So 4 days ago.
Hence lukewarm. They're definitely not hot. Sorry.
4 days is pretty good.
Yeah, but by the time this gets out, it'll be like 6 days, 7 days. Yeah. Anyway, I'm sure that there's probably more hot fixes as we speak. As you're listening to this, so don't forget to check out WoW's website for those. But here are some interesting things that we pulled out. Fixed an issue that could cause Alani to despawn after being pulled with a sky crystal.
Huh.
Do you know what that any of that
I
means?
I have no idea.
Yes, I still know more than he does. Alani,
yeah,
is that...
It.
I will, believe me. Alani is the rare spawn that flies around the veil of Eternal Blossoms.
I did know that, yes. I always see Alani flying around.
Exactly.
Because I did my dailies for a while.
The first time I ever saw Alani, I'm like, I need that now. And I like flew up and tried to kill him or her.
Yeah, how'd that go for you?
Did not go so well.
Yeah,
I couldn't
guessed?
Target them properly, etc. Whatever. So, but that's because I didn't have a sky crystal. And you get a sky crystal by assembling, I believe it's 10 sky shards. And how do you get a sky shard? You get it off of a random drop.
Of yep,
any
I looked into
mob
this too.
In the Vale of the Eternal Blossoms. So, like, imagine that you've gone through all of this grinding to get 10 sky shards, to turn it into one sky crystal, to use it to pull Alani and get rid of the shield, and then Alani despawns.
See, now here's my question. How many of these, like, this is what I think is crazy. How many of these shards do you have?
Do I have?
Yep.
Yeah, none.
Zero, right?
Zero.
And how many dailies did you do in that zone? For how long?
A lot.
And you have zero.
Zero.
That's how many I have, too.
Exactly.
Zero. That's crazy.
So if you can imagine how disappointing that must be to then consume your sky crystal by using it to pull Alani and then having Alani just despawn. Yeah.
No, that's crazy.
Yeah, so I'm glad that they fixed that. That's a good thing.
I mean, do you think they're not going to refund people their stuff, are they?
I don't know. Maybe, given that it's such a like actual pain in the ass. Like I don't even know. Probably not.
I have no idea. That's ridiculous.
That's just a long grind right there. Yeah. That's rough.
A long grind to equate to possibly zero thing.
Exactly.
All.
But it's been fixed. So go out, farm in the Vale of the Eternal Blossoms, and good luck to you.
Yeah, because no one's ever seen one of the shards.
No. I know that there were people in our guild who had some shards. Like, I think Charnel might have had two or something like that. Yeah. Let's see. In terms of raids... Sulong can no longer become berserk during his day phase. Okay.
Gotcha.
Sulong can no longer benefit from rallying cry during his day phase and no longer suffers damage from unholy frenzy. So what I've gathered,
you heal, they're on your side during the day phase. Or you're not supposed to hurt them, rather.
Yeah, I've gathered this from, you know, people talking on our forums and, you know, these patch notes. So it's unfortunate that Rallying Cry no longer affects him on day phase. That's sad. That's like as if Lay on Hands no longer worked on Velithria Dreamwalker. Like, that was... I got a million crit lay on hands on Volithria Dreamwalker once.
Right. Well, good times, probably good times. That's bananas.
Well, it can no longer crit anymore, so that's unfortunate, but yeah. So, same sort of thing. Rallying Cry no longer works. Basically, also, from looking at the patch notes, they basically nerfed just about all of Heart of Fear for LFR. Like, all of it. The Windlord deals less area of effect damage in the Raid Finder version. Grand Efren's Shegzir, the Raid Finder version of this encounter, has been adjusted to be more appropriate for its intended difficulty. The Trash preceding Shegzir now have less health in the Raid Finder version. Yeah, so pretty much everything except Garrulon, I think, was nerfed specifically for Raid Finder. So go forth into Raid Finder and kick ass.
Achieve fat loot.
Achieve fat loot with people who are idiots all around you. Yes, do that.
Good times.
With regards to Molly, we don't have anything. Guys, sad moose. You have one more opportunity to get your stuff into us for our next podcast. I don't know when that's going to be. It's not going to be next week, I don't think, but maybe the week after that. All the magic, and I need to discuss that, obviously. But one more chance to get your comments and questions read and answered here on the show.
Podcast. Yeah, you should do all those things.
Podcast@blessingoffrost.com. One chance, guys. That's it. One last chance. Do not hesitate. Or else...
hesitate a little bit, but then do it. That's fine. If you need to, you know.
Or forever hold your peace. Basically. Yeah. So, yes, we love comments and questions and feedback, and podcast@blessingoffrost.com is the address.
General chat, sir!
General chat.
General chat.
Sir.
Sir.
Yeah, so I haven't played WoW in, like, 2 weeks, and it's given me a bit of time to think about what I have taken away from WoW and what I've learned from WoW and all of that jazz. So we thought it might be a nice sort of thing to talk about, like what kind of skills we realized we had, or how we learned to do things, and what, you know, basically what we can take away from the game after playing the game for so long.
So what do you want to talk about?
I want to talk about being an officer, because dear Lord, you learn a lot being an officer.
This is true.
You can obviously speak to this yourself, and I do hope you will, but being an officer of a larger guild at the very least, and I'm sure for smaller guilds as well, but especially for a 25-man raiding guild, it's an exercise in patience, I think. You know, you have...
Absolutely.
Because nobody is ever going to completely agree on anything, ever. And a lot of problems like that other guilds have, I've noticed, come from thinking, oh, well, it's just common sense. Or, oh, everybody understands this. You know what? No, nobody will ever understand that. Like, outside of your little group of friends who started the guild with you, nobody else. It will not be obvious or evident to anybody else, I guarantee you. I can point to every single policy that Apotheosis has and tell you why they are enacted and tell you exactly what situation led to that policy being written down and codified. And it's pretty funny when you think about it. But that's one of the biggest things, is that you need to be able to navigate between what you feel the direction of the guild should be vis-a-vis what other people feel the direction of the guild should be. And, you know, as the guild master of Apotheosis for the majority of its time, I guess, you know, I was constantly approached by people saying, well, what about this? Isn't this important? Or what about that? Isn't that important? And I'd be like, yes, that's important, but it's not a priority. Or no, that's not really important. That's not really our goal. And, you know, things like that. So I learned to be really patient and to sort of speak at length to speak at length about...
That's how you learn to speak at length?
No.
Yeah, but I don't think so.
I learned to speak at length with people with regards to what we thought that the guild, how the guild should be run and how the guild should work, really. I was always open to people's suggestions and stuff. And I'm sure we enacted a few of them, a few changes that were suggested to us. It was really an exercise in patience to sit down and tell someone, okay, look, we need to do this so that we can do that, so we can do this, so we can do that, so STFU. But doing it in
a way... That's very diplomatic.
I know, but doing it in a way that was diplomatic. Because, like, I never said, now, STFU, and don't bring this up again. I was always like, I really hope that this has helped your understanding of the issue. Because that, I mean, when officers, like, explain... We're now doing this, like, you know, we're going to go kill this boss on normal rather than this boss on heroic or whatever your situation is. A lot of people are like, what the F? Why? Why are you doing that? And you don't really have a lot of time, I guess, always to, you know, when you're making the announcement to go into the details. And a lot of people don't even care about the details. But I guarantee you that there will always be at least one person who is going, what the hell are these people out of their friggin' minds? So I always like to be there to say, look, I will take you through the whole thought process entirely, and I hope that that makes things easier for you to understand. You know, even if I'm not going to change what the decision was, I hope that you now understand better.
And I mean, that's about the best you can do, right?
Exactly, but, like, so many people don't do that. I've seen, like, you know, in other guilds, like, I've seen, you know, the guild master say, we're doing this. And it's like, well, why are we doing that? It's like, we're doing this. But why? We're doing this. Yes, I understand that we're doing this. But why are we doing that? Because I said so. Oh, okay.
Well, that doesn't quite help.
You said so, so we're doing this, right? That's not how you get people to buy in into the philosophy, right? Like, you've got to get people to buy into whatever sort of leadership you're pushing on them, right? Like, whatever direction you're pushing on them. And if you want to be respected, I think, as a leader, it's really important to be able to explain, you know, and lead people through, you know, your thought process and the thought process of the guild, of the officers and stuff, to get them to that conclusion themselves. Because, you know, everybody thinks differently. Nobody thinks the same. Everybody deals with things in a different way. And it's really important in a larger group of people to be able to sit down and go, okay, no, look, here, I understand why you think this might be a better solution for us, but this is why we think this is a better solution, and bring them through it point by point by point if you need to. So I learned to do that, and because prior to playing WoW, I would never have thought to do that. I would have just been like, we're doing it my way, done. But
yeah, and it doesn't really build a lot of, like, you know, reputation with them,
because
exactly. Not really, you know, that's not what they want to hear, and
exactly.
Then they're not going to listen to other things that you want to have to say.
And I've learned also that people in any group situation, I would imagine, like, basically anything you talk about in terms of guild dynamics can be applied to virtually any large group of people, I found, you know, as long as they have a common goal. So it's like, they really just want to know that they've been heard. You know, if you have someone who's constantly making suggestions and constantly, you know, saying, why are we doing this, constantly questioning you, then you probably want to sit down and talk to the person, go, look, I really admire you for giving, you know, all of this thought to this particular issue. I really appreciate your suggestions, but here's why we're going to do it this way. And, you know, if you don't do that, then you risk alienating those people. And, you know, they maybe just because their ideas suck now, because don't get me wrong, lots of ideas out there can suck.
Listen, I've never had an idea like that ever before in my life.
Never,
never
the Noxus from behind, five manning him.
And it worked.
98%.
He went to 95%.
98. Sorry.
Okay.
Yeah.
So
yeah, that didn't
mission
work.
Accomplished.
Right. So people like magic can have really bad ideas. And so, but just because their ideas might not work for you now doesn't mean that 3 months down the line they might not work. So you never really want to turn somebody away from, you know, coming to you with ideas. You never want to stifle that sort of creativity, because obviously you're thinking in different ways, right? They're coming to you from one angle, you're coming to the problem from another angle, and you know, one day maybe that their angle will complement yours to the point where you're like, oh my god, they're right, we need to do it this way. So you don't want to alienate these people, and I've learned how to, I think anyway, thank people for their suggestions, decline their suggestions, but make them feel valued anyway, which is not necessarily easy.
Yeah, well.
Especially when your first instinct is like, what the F are you talking about? You're an idiot. So that's something I'm going to take away and have refined. What about you, Madge? Do you have something that comes to mind?
Something, I mean, along a certain vein or just anything?
Anything that you've like learned from the game.
I've learned that you can't, I mean, I've learned this outside of the game as well, but it becomes so much clearer when you're trying to, like, direct a large quantity of people that you're never going to please everybody, because it is impossible.
Yeah.
When you're talking about more than, you know, 30 people, it's just never gonna happen.
Never, ever, ever.
And, everyone can have ideas, but you just can't always implement them. And this is kind of what you were talking about, and what you say, listen, I like your idea, but to do it right now is just not going to happen, because it isn't. And you can, you know, you as you were saying, you can give reasons, but like, you there's only so many things you can try in one, you know, one night or one raid attempt, and you've got to kind of go with what you believe is going to be the best and then deal with the aftermath of whatever that's going to be. And it's, you know, people are going to be upset because you didn't take their suggestion or you didn't do it another way, but you kind of have to just go for the gold and, you know, learn from your mistakes.
Absolutely. And I would have to say that a really good example of that was when we were struggling on Alec here on normal mode. That is a crappy fight. Like, to this day, I hate that fight. Fog and I were actually talking about this on the phone earlier in the week. We were like, man, I hate Alec here. Basically, you know, I approached the fight. You know, I was the raid leader, so I approached the fight. And I'm like, here's where we're going to all stand, and this is what we're going to do. And, you know, it wasn't working. It was actually with you, me, and Dayton, who was our main tank on that fight. We were all in the same section, and because it's 25 man, right? So we have three to a square, and we always got windburst right when the frigging cyclones went by us. So invariably, one of us was caught in the cyclone or blown off the edge or something like that. And it just wasn't sustainable. I'm like, what the F is going on? And nobody really, among the officers anyway, really knew what the problem was. So we started throwing out crazy ideas like, well, let's have everyone shift one to the right and see what happens then. And then Day in officer chat, I'll never forget this, Day is like right before the pull, he says, I wonder if it's just like going to be the same thing but just shift over one, just like we're shift over one, because it's like, that's where aggro is starting from. And I'm like, oh no. I think he may be right. And that's exactly what happened. But, you know, the guild talked about it, like, you know, in raid chat and stuff, and we took different ideas, and you know, after a certain point, it was just like, okay, we clearly are missing something, so we're going to call it here, and we're going to go figure out what went wrong. And I actually posted on my blog, and a lot of people wrote back and said, you know, you can delay the windburst. I'm like, no! Are you kidding? Oh! Okay, it makes sense now. And then, like, the fight just clicked for me. But, like, we were openly, like, getting suggestions and trying out crazy ideas, because we were, like, at a loss. we really didn't know what we were doing. And so ultimately, you know, the guildies, I hope anyway, felt like we listened to them, even if their ideas didn't work out. I hope that they feel like we were able to listen to them and try out their ideas. But like nobody, like there was a lot of dissent, basically. Like, well, if we don't know how to do the fight, we should call it for the night. Like, nobody wanted to wipe Alec here. And I'm like, yeah,
over,
but you know what?
And over again.
Because it's such a bad fight. But we, I mean, we figured it out. We persevered, and we went back in the next raid night, and we, like, decimated him, which was really great. But, like, I, you know, that was a real group effort, and then that was a community effort as well, because others were like, you can delay the wind burst. I'm like, oh.
Well, you learn, you know, every time you go in there, you learn something new. Or anytime you go into any instance and fail, you kind of just have to pull from each of your failings and go from there. That's at least the way that I ended up doing when I raid-led our Kara 10-mans and that kind of stuff. I was very, very big on trial and error and, you know, adjusting as you go through the raid, because that's what always seemed to work for me.
Yeah, I'm a fan of, like, going in with, like, an overall plan and then working out the details when I get in there and then altering those details as you go through the raid. That's something that always worked for me. And what was really interesting is that I was never good at that before I started playing WoW. I was just like, I would continue doing the exact same thing with the exact same results. And, you know, that's like the definition of insanity, right?
Yes, it is.
But, like, you know, raiding is a whole other beast, because, like, there are so many moving parts. And it was really interesting to me to see, like, the effect of tweaking one thing here and then seeing how it goes, and then tweaking something else over there and seeing how that goes. And so, I mean, I'm a very conservative raid leader in that sense, in that I don't like to, I guess, move the moving parts too much. I much prefer to sort of take my time and analyze, I guess, what's going on. And I do that best with logs, but there are some people, and you know, I don't want to compliment you or anything.
Careful now.
But you are really, really good at analyzing a problem, like, right after you've seen it. Like, you can go, okay, this is what happened. And I'd be like, how the F do you know that? But, like, you know, I just trust that your observational skills picked up on that. Same thing with Day. I trusted him to do that as well. And you know, you guys basically made me look good. So thank you.
We do what we can. It's not easy.
I know. I'm such a drag on the raid group.
Shoulders are sore from carrying you so hard.
I'm so sorry. Sorry about kicking you in the face, too.
Exactly.
So something else I guess I've learned from WoW is just accepting things. Strangely,
like stuff in general.
Well, not changes, I guess. I don't like change. I don't know if you knew that about me.
I've heard that.
I've seen it on occasion. I loathe change beyond the telling of it, like with every fiber of my being. I'm not even kidding. And WoW has put me in a place where it's like, well, if you don't like the change, then stop playing. And while ultimately I have done that, it took me 7 years of changes to get to that
You are
point.
Terrible at it.
No, I mean, like, you've got to, in life, as in the game, I found that you need to accept change when it happens. And sometimes you actually need to really not just accept it, but embrace it. And so, you know, as soon as you get a new expansion, for example, you need to forget everything you knew about the game pretty much beforehand and embrace the new reality. And as much as I enjoyed living in the past and talking endlessly about my 39-minute Strat 45 run without a tank, as much as I like talking about that, that's not the new reality, you know? And I need to embrace things like, okay, well, Apotheos has cleared 8 of 8 heroic modes in Dragon Soul, which is great. You know, and I need to, like, focus on, you know, the things that were current. And patches and expansions are great opportunities for that. Like, So Holy Radiance no longer works as an instant thing. It's now a casted thing that leaves a hot on the first player. Okay, and now it's just a casted spell that doesn't leave a hot. It's like you constantly have to keep up with the different changes in the game with regards to your class. But I mean, it's change, and I don't like change. But for whatever reason, I learned to accept change within the context of WoW. And I dare say, I learned to accept change better in real life.
Well, how about that?
I still
taking
don't like
away
it.
Real life skills.
I know. Real life skills. From a video game, it's madness.
Improbable.
What about you? Do you have any sort of real life skills that you've maybe applied to the game or taken from the game or refined in the game?
Refined in the game. I don't know. I'm trying to think. Something that I do for better in or worse in the game and in real life is that I try to take great pains in, you know, making sure that most people like me. Which is weird, you know, when I say it to you, because I don't care what you think. But, you know, most people that I care about, that's, you know, that's... And I do it a lot out of the game as well, but it's just it translates back into the game where I'll, you know, not anymore. I guess I say not anymore as in like not like I'm a bad person now. Shut up. But
doubtful.
Back when I was, you know, really into the PvE stuff, I'd always be doing runs and healing runs, and I love tanking stuff, and back in vanilla, I was definitely down to do all sorts of attunements and all that kind of thing.
All sorts of crazy crap, let me tell you.
Yeah, lots of dumb stuff.
Lots of it.
I love, like, really putting my mind, once I am interested in something, I really throw everything into it, and just, even if it's really dumb, I still enjoy it. Like, for example, leveling all of engineering in one night, because
yes,
we wanted, you know, repair bots and jumper cables and that kind of thing. And I just, you know, that was it. We did engineering almost entirely in one night back in vanilla. It was a disaster.
That was beautiful. That was beautiful.
It was hilarious and ridiculous and useless, but
it was great. It was not useless. You rezzed crypt several times with your jumper cables.
This
we used
true.
The repair bot in ZG.
That did happen.
Yes, it did.
And influenced out of game, I've met a lot of people from out of, like, from in-game, out of game.
Well, that is definitely true. I mean, you've met me and Fog, obviously.
And everyone in down in Virginia.
Oh, gosh,
like
the inbred
Toga,
cousins.
Yeah, Toga, Cam,
Ribs,
Tank, Dorf, and Hulk Dorf.
Wow.
Then I hung out with Dark Guido and Grimnaw.
Oh my gosh,
as
I
well.
Forgot about that.
And then Cut and Dar.
Right.
And a lot of people, and I've made a lot of friends in WoW that I've gone on to meet in real life, and that's awesome.
That's
been
that
really
is
fantastic.
Great.
And I know you, like, you know, you've met people through your NaNoWriMo stuff, and I, you know, this is what I've had. This is like my first real, like, major online community, essentially, and it's been kind of a blast to just get to know people on a much, you know, I've known you for like 7 years.
That's so
crazy.
Sad.
that's absurd. Like, I can't even comprehend the fact that that's how long A, I've been playing this game, and B, how long I've been, you know, talking to you, essentially.
Dealing with me, putting up with me, yeah.
Exactly. All those
I know.
Things.
It's kind of nuts.
Yeah, absolutely.
I've also met people from the guild outside of the game. I've met, oh gosh, I'm going to forget people too, damn it.
Oh, you're the worst.
I really am. I've met Shamala. I met Space, Holy Space. That's
yep.
a name from the past.
That is true.
I much more recently, well, I mean, I met you, I've met Palantir. And you can't
and
really say that, and JD, yes, you can't say that you met Palantir in the game because didn't
no,
you get him
count.
Into the game?
No.
Like they
yes.
were college roommates, so.
Oh, well, I mean, I got him playing the game.
Yeah.
So it doesn't really count.
Right. I met Cal and Cronus. Is that... Oh, and I've met Sarah, too.
Yes.
I've actually met Sarah twice.
And you've met a few other people that you met in-game that aren't in the guild.
Hmm?
Didn't you meet, like, other GMs and...
Oh, gosh, yes. I've met Vid and Voss. Good call. Oh, and I've met,
Yep, keep going.
Bossy Pally.
Yes.
Yes.
Is that it?
I think that's it.
Okay. Wow. I knew you met
good,
other people.
Good call. Good call. So it's been neat to meet these people that I only know of like through their blogs or whatever, or through their in-game chats. It's been neat to meet them outside of the game as well. Although it's not my first real
right.
online community. I've had a lot of online communities. I like build communities. I build
this
them
isn't
for
your
a living.
First rodeo.
Right, exactly. But it's always nice to you know put a face to the name and you know chat with them in real life and get to know what people are thinking. I really do enjoy. I mean, as much as I say people are stupid and I hate stupid people, it's really nice to meet people and get to know them out of game as well. And that the game has been a meeting ground for us initially, and then like meeting them offline and stuff. I think that's been fun. That's been good. I've genuinely enjoyed my time with everybody that I've met online, offline.
Yeah, it's been like, it was
except
my first, thank you. I naturally assumed that.
Well, yeah, I just thought for the listeners.
And I think that's part of the reason that I've found that I either stick with games or don't, is that for a long time, like I played Counter-Strike as either, it was like a mixture of Counter-Strike and StarCraft as my first couple games, but I had no easy way or no way of like creating a real community in that game because there weren't, you know, there were clans and that kind of thing, but nothing that I got into. And the first time when I had, you know, the Ashen Order as my guild, I still quit then as well because, you know, we had like 10 or 15 people, but it's still not like the huge support structure that is either like when I joined Faded Heroes or I didn't have a leadership role in, I mean, I had a leadership role in my own guild, but we didn't raid. So it's not like, you know, I just happened to be the GM sort of and
right.
managed the bank and that kind of thing.
The bank. There wasn't even a guild bank back in those days. Like, you had to have another
right.
tune.
Yeah, that
and,
was technically a bank.
Terrible. Terrible. Poor Tia. I still feel bad for that. Sorry, Tia. We were so sorry for the whole banking issue.
Yeah. And the only, like, that's, it didn't really grab me, and that's part of the thing that I jump around through a lot of games, and I end up staying in games where I either have friends currently playing or where I end up like landing in a community. And when I quit WoW the second time and I picked up TF2, I've mentioned the podcast Control Point, and they had their own community, and then they had an offshoot from their podcast to a podcast called, what was it? I can't believe I'm failing on this now.
Way
because
to go, champ.
I was mentioned a couple times on this other podcast. It was more of a competitive TF2 podcast that was done. And I, you know, played on the servers that those people like sort of sponsored and had a lot of fun there and did some competitive pickup games. And so I was able to like get into that community a bit. And then when that sort of, they quit their podcast at like their 100th episode. And that kind of dissolved, and then I got back over into raiding here, and then I guess I've been raiding
Yay!
Since then.
Yeah.
Yep.
The whole community thing, when I, like, when I started playing WoW, I kind of didn't want to deal with other people at all. Like, I knew it was a massively multiplayer online role-playing game, and I'm like, I don't want to have anything to do with other people. But then what did I do? I promptly went out and got my brother to start playing. So it was like Fog and I against the world. And then the jerk goes and joins, like, a guild. I'm like, I don't want to join that guild, the Band of Brothers. Like, what's that all about? And he's like, well, you should join a guild too. And I'm like, okay. So I joined a guild called Kindred, and then all kinds of crazy things occurred, and then I was ungilded from like level 40 into like level 50 or something like that. And then I joined Fade Heroes because my brother joined, and then he promptly left. But because he left, I felt bad, and I'm like, okay, let's see what we can do with this guild here. So, you know, I asked the GM at the time. I'm like, look, do you guys want a raid, or do you just want to be a leveling guild, or what do you want? And he's like, no, we want a raid. And so the officers want to raid as well. And so I'm like, okay, well, let's get this show on the road then. And so I started doing research, and I started, like, you know, I created forums for them because they didn't have forums at the time. And, you know, so I basically helped, you know, create the community of Faded Heroes. And it was a lot of fun for me. And so people got to know each other in game and stuff. And then, you know, the guild sort of fell apart, but the community, like, we'd see each other in Zanger Marsh while we were leveling, right? And it'd be like, Fade Heroes for the win. It's like, yeah. and so I guess what I'm trying to say is that, like, I saw that there was no community for Fade Heroes. And so I went through and I created one because I didn't want to be without that community aspect. You know, once I'd gotten into a guild and I was like feeling comfortable in the guild, I really wanted to make sure that the guild had tools, I guess, to maintain that community. Which, you know, that's sort of what I do. I really love online communities. I love connecting people. So, I mean, it was sort of like second nature. Like, okay, no community here. Have a community. Done.
Well, that seems to work. So.
Oh, yeah. I mean, like, you kind of need that. Like, I don't understand people who play a game like WoW, where the content isn't really transient, right? Like, the groups aren't really transient. Unlike TF2. Like, TF2, you can, like, log in, you know, blow a couple people up, and then log out and not play for 6 months. But WoW, like, you know, it encourages you to play consistently over the course of a really long period of time. And if you're doing that in a guild structure, then you're probably playing with the same people pretty regularly, especially if you're raiding. So I don't understand people who don't pay attention to communities that have sprung up around the game. Like, I guess I can understand someone not, like, following blogs and stuff, but not even following what's going on in your own guild. Like, I can't understand that. And I've seen that in other guilds. Like, people don't care. People don't put the effort in. People don't, you know, even the leadership doesn't care. And it's like, how are you anything but a collection of people then? You're not a real community. You're not a real guild. There's no sense of teamwork, no sense of loyalty. I don't understand how that works. So, because I've always worked from the other end of that, I guess.
Guess not.
No. Is there anything else that you've taken away from the game, or that maybe you miss now that you're not reading?
What do I miss? I don't know. Do you have something for that?
Well, like I was saying earlier, I miss the competition. I miss, you know, going up against this computer-generated, you know, encounter, and working out the puzzle and then executing the strategy. I really do miss that.
See, I don't miss that because I still get that sort of thing when I play games like Team Fortress. And I've been playing a lot of puzzles in Professor Layton for DS as well, by the way.
Was that? Okay.
Or what was that? How do I do that in Team Fortress?
Yeah.
Well, you end up having to figure out what classes are working together in order to achieve the goal that you currently have. It's not always, like, it's never just, you know, play soldier or play scout and that's going to win you the game, because it doesn't. You need to, I mean, in competitive it is, because everyone's playing the same classes, but when you just, like, play a random pickup game, I usually try and play a class that's either lacking or whatever I believe will end up helping us win the game. So if like we don't have a lot of medics, then I'll play a medic and I'll try and find someone that's actually playing the game in a way that I think is correct or is going to help, and I'll try and make sure that they get in and they destroy the sentry guns so that our the rest of our team can push in and achieve whatever objective it is.
Okay,
for example.
Fair. Yeah.
And so it ends up, even though it's even more fun when you have someone that you know that you play with that also knows the game itself, it's sort of working with, it's almost a weirder concept because you're trying to force yourself to work with people that don't necessarily want to be working together. And all they want to be doing is like playing whatever class they want to play, which isn't necessarily true because you won't win if, you know, everyone wants to play scout and everyone's a scout. You're still just going to lose because you can't do that. And I mean, most people have a diverse like number of classes they want to play. So it doesn't happen like that all that often.
Right.
But it's fun to like get in there and then see like, okay, well, we don't have any pyros. And so I'm going to go pyro and kill people, and that's what's going to help achieve the end goal of capturing the point or of pushing the cart. Or like I said, usually the answer has got to be a medic because there's never enough medics.
That's very true.
But I don't know, and it sort of satiates, between that and League of Legends, it satiates my need to like be competitive, because instead of being competitive in a team against an unnamed opponent, I'm just as happy being competitive against other people by blowing them up in the face, because in both the games I'm like pretty confident that I'm competent when it comes to being able to play the game.
See, that's interesting, because I miss the competition against like the computer. I guess I should really go play like Portal or something if I want to satisfy that need. But I do miss the you know, the epic feel of walking up to a boss and like having 24 other people with me and basically people doing what I tell them to do. Like that, I can't say that that is something that I don't miss, because I definitely do. But I miss the epic feeling of, oh my god, we got this down. And that's something. I mean, I haven't really felt that since. Not in a raid situation, since we first killed Madness, which was back in like May, I think. So I mean, it's been a while. But like I was able to do that a little bit with the rares around Pandaria, especially the more difficult ones. Like, yes, I figured out this problem, like I soloed this and that's great. Or me and this like random resto chamois killed Major Nanners like together, which felt really good. But like, right. I'm missing that sort of thing, and that's something that that I've yet to recapture elsewhere, and I don't really know where I'm gonna get my fix.
Well, we'll have to play some man versus machine on TF2, or you'll have to start picking up some TF2, because it's a lot of fun, and it's even more fun when you get to play with someone who you are talking with on a Mumble or Skype or whatever.
Yeah, that's an idea. I haven't really done a lot of man versus machine, although what I did do is pretty obnoxious. People were dumb, and I'm like, I don't want to play with dumb people. I'm tired of playing with dumb people, thanks. Not that the people I played with in WoW were dumb, unless I was in LFG or LFR, but so many people in LFG and LFR are really, really dumb. Sorry.
See, so that's the nice thing about like TF2 is that you don't necessarily play with dumb people all the time. Like, you definitely get good people in games, and you do get dumb people occasionally, but
they make me look bad, Madge. Really not that good.
But unless they're on your team, I mean, if the bad people are on the other team, then it's not that big a deal. That's kind of the nice thing about not playing in a purely PvE situation, is that when the bad people are on the other team, it doesn't affect you as much in the negative sense that it's working against you, because it's actually working for you.
That's true. I mean, like, you know, you have, I'm sure that when you're playing, you know, PvP in WoW, like, if you come up against a bunch of people who really don't know how to play, you're like, woohoo!
Right, exactly.
But for me, like, PvP has never been my thing, right? Like, not since Vanilla and all of the Zerging from the Relief Hut. Oh my god.
Hooray. Because that was made for great games.
12 hours. I'm not even kidding. Yeah, 12 hours.
That was a joke.
That was so epic. Anyway, so I can't believe that games of AV are over in like 5 minutes now. You know, that's like brutal.
Yeah, but it's better than 14-hour, like, never-ending games.
I don't know if it's better.
It is. You don't have to.
You know what? I will say this. It's better in the sense that at least I'm not getting ready to pull General Drakasath and like, three people leave for AV because they're Q-popped.
Right.
I'll give you that. Stupid General Drakasath. But yeah, so I don't know. I'll miss a lot of things from WoW, and but I at the same time I think it's made me, focus on certain things that I wouldn't have focused on before. Like, I've gotten really good at managing things, like organizing things. When my grandmother broke her hip last December, and I was raiding with two guilds and dealing with seeing my grandmother like every single day, I learned how to manage my time really well because I was also in school. I had all of this stuff going on, and I still managed to get everything done. You know, I got my papers done. I got my raid strats done. I got my raids done. I got my reviews done. I got everything I needed to do done. And that's because I was forced to manage my time really tightly. And I don't think any other sort of confluence of events would have gotten me to manage my time as well as I did that time without WoW. Like, if I hadn't had this huge time commitment for WoW, I don't think I would have gotten as good as I did at managing things. At all. And delegating things too. I mean, that's when I gave Josiah a healing lead because I just couldn't do it anymore.
Well, it's as good a reason as any, right?
Well, yeah, but it's sad still. Like, not that Josiah doesn't do a great job, because she does, and believe me, I didn't want to do all the cooldown callouts for friggin' Heroic Yorsage. So props to Josiah for being a champ for that. But it was a humbling experience, I guess. And I'll always, I guess, be grateful to WoW for and our guild in specific for showing me that, you know, I could still get my stuff done as long as I made time for it and use that time efficiently.
Right. Well, you know, I don't know if I've pulled away as many in real life stuff as that, but congratulations.
Thank you. No, it's been an interesting 7 years. I've wasted a lot of my time, but I've also made a lot of good use of my time, I think, playing WoW. So yeah, you know, I leave and I'm not, you know, bitter, and I'm not, you know, well, maybe a little bit bitter, but this is me we're talking
mildly
about. But you know, I leave the game and I'm content, you know. And I still, I think I said last time, I still want to play. So it's not that I hate the game. I just want the game to be something
that it's not.
And that, again, is change that one has to accept, right? I mean, like, I have to accept that that's it. My WoW is no longer in existence, and I've got to be okay with that.
Yeah. Well, maybe it'll come back around at some point for you.
That's true. I mean, it's one of the blues, I don't even know who, probably Ghost Caller, said that WoW is an iterative entity or whatever it was. So it's constantly in flux, and it's true. And I'm glad it's constantly in flux, because it's a really good thing that they recognize that there are issues and that they recognize that there are problems and that they do try to solve them. Like, you know, Alani despawning would suck. Like, if that happened to me, I would have been so pissed. But, you know, they fixed that now, so that's good. So go forth and try to capture Alani.
Even though it'll take you forever.
Yes. So I guess that's it for our general chat. But if, as always, if you guys have comments, you have one last opportunity to send us your comments and questions, and we would be happy to receive them at podcast@blessingoffrost.com.
Shoutouts.
Still my favorite bumper of all time.
I'll leave it at that. I have nothing to say.
We had no new reviews on iTunes this week. Again, you have one last opportunity to rate us up and leave a review to get a shout out. So I would do that now.
time is running out.
It is. It is. I don't think I've ever done this before, but if I'm going to be honest about things, I guess that my shout out is to the development team of WoW and all the people who have basically ever worked on the game, because I really did enjoy the vast majority of my time in the game. So my shout out is to them. So props to them and thank you.
I can't believe you're thanking the developers.
I know, it feels so wrong.
Of the people that have effectively gotten you to no longer play the game.
Yeah, but I really enjoyed my time when I was playing, so most of it anyway.
Well, there you go. I don't know if I have a very good shout out
this
week.
Don't make me deck you.
What?
If you shout out to Merc or Fog or Pal, I will deck you.
Unlikely, considering where you currently located and where I'm currently located.
I will deck you soon.
It's not very nice. Not nice to say. I will say then that I'll shout out to... Who I shout out to then?
No Car Ramrod crap either.
We haven't done Car Ramrod in a long time.
I don't even know what it is still.
Really?
Really.
I don't have any shoutouts this week. That's it. Done.
Okay.
Zero.
Fine.
Yeah.
Now, normally this is where we would put the ding segment in of our podcast, God. But no, we killed
that
last
episode for our current feelings and what happened with the ding episode.
For possibly the best ding segment ever was last week.
Since ding started, yes, and ended.
So, on to tip of the week. In talking about communities and stuff in WoW, it dawned on me that a lot of people don't know about the different chat channel commands you have. So you can always do /chat list or /chat who or /chat info and then the name of your channel. So like if it's, I don't know, Apoth Medics, you would do /chat list /apothmedics or the number of the channel that you joined, and that will list all the people in that channel. But surprisingly few people know about these sorts of chat commands and stuff. So I will actually be putting up a link to a pretty comprehensive list of chat channel commands on our show notes, because that's always fun.
That's true.
Learn how to ban people, invite people, all that
Hooray.
Stuff. Hooray! So that's our tip of the week.
All right. Well, we are still looking for another tip of the week.
Just one more. That's all we need.
Yeah, just one. Not that we've had one in maybe, 60 episodes?
Yeah, something like that.
I remember we started a thread on our forums about it.
Yeah.
And most of the answers were pretty dumb. And then we got some decent ones, and we used them. And then that was it. And the well dried up pretty quickly.
Pretty much.
So we need another one, and you should send it to us along with any feedback or... anything else, you should email us at podcast@blessingoffrost.com and let us know what you thought. You can follow myself and Kern on Twitter. That's @KernMog and @MajjityMajjity. And leave comments and rate us up on iTunes for
just
this
once
is
more.
The last chance that you have to do so and get yourself mentioned.
Yep.
And so that brings us to the end of our, was it penultimate?
Penultimate, very good.
Penultimate, our 74th and penultimate episode. I am Magic.
And I'm Kern.
Until next time, stay frosty.
Blessing of Frost is a World of Warcraft podcast by Kern and Magic, copyright 2012. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. Thanks to our buddy Numinal for the use of his voice in our intro. Thanks to our listeners, Dang Fool and Joe Ego, for their help with bumpers. And thanks to you for listening.